Hello and welcome back to this Trauma Super Conference. My name is Jaya Bristow and I'm one of your hosts. And today I am very, very delighted to be welcoming Mona Chopra. Welcome, Mona.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me here.
Thank you for joining us today. So, Mona, you're an acupuncturist, a hypnotherapist, and a meditation instructor, as well as the co-founder of One Circle Wellness Center, a holistic care center in New York. You've been immersed in the fields of mind-body medicine for over two decades now, addressing the root and branches of suffering and helping people connect with their inner resources in order to support healing and growth. So maybe you want to start by telling us a little bit more about your work and how it connects to trauma.
Yeah, thank you. Well, without going too much into it, I would just say the word trauma, I mean, you on this in this conference have, you know, experts and people who are, you know, speak about it, are going to speak about it much more thoroughly and intelligibly than I will. But just to say it has come to mean so many different things in different ways. And, but I guess in some basic level, what I would say is that there is a kind of disruption in the flow of energy in a system when there is something that the organism experiences as trauma. There is some kind of disruption in a fluid flow of energy. And the different modalities that I work in, particularly acupuncture, are designed to reestablish a healthy flow of energy. And of course, energy is also one of these words that's come to mean lots of different things, and it just gets thrown around. But it actually is everything, right? So energy is the physical body. Energy is the physiological processes of the body. Our thoughts are energy. Our, you know, what we call emotions are energy. And so as an energy practitioner, as an acupuncturist, it's really seeing one doing an assessment to see in this particular person, where do there seem like there are blocks? Where might there be a pattern that is sort of caught in a loop? And how can we work to adjust the energy field in this system to bring about a healthier flow, I also, as you mentioned, work, do hypnotherapy, and I'm also a practice emotional freedom technique or tapping. And those are other, you know, additional ways that one can work with people who are suffering as a result of, like, I guess in some way we all have certain kinds of trauma, right? That's like one idea. It's like we've all experienced trauma. And then I would say there's like gradations or levels or different types of trauma. And what we do know is it's not something that typically that just sort of in a very regular, ordinary way, chatting about or speaking about necessarily resolves. Hypnotherapy, emotional freedom technique are also working on an unconscious level or addressing the level of the subconscious. Tapping also works with the energy of the body in the similar, using the meridians. So yeah, so that's a little bit about it. You know, in some way, Chinese medicine, it's a full system of medicine. So it's saying someone comes to you, in some way, there's some kind of suffering, or there, you know, there's some way in which there's an offness. How can you adjust it? And it really has tools to address those disruptions, all kinds of disruptions, and particularly with trauma, it is often best in combination with other modalities, right? Maybe there's some other kinds of therapies along with it, not as a standalone.
I love that. I really find it interesting that, you know, as you say, it's all kind of energy work, and your definition of energy is kind of everything, and trauma can be like that sort of when energy isn't flowing in some ways, you know, and so that your energy work using different modalities, whether it's acupuncture or tapping or hypnotherapy, to sort of help Help bring back the flow where things are getting stuck. I've got this image of a little like stream or something, and then, you know, things getting a bit stuck in the stream, and that you're sort of helping clear that and allowing things to flow more naturally. And I also, you know, appreciate that, like you were saying, that trauma can mean different things to different people, and there's, you know, bigger and smaller traumas, which will create, I guess, bigger or smaller blocks in this little stream that I've imagined of flow. And so I'm curious about, do you have like different modalities you use depending on the, I don't know if blockage is the right word, but, or do you, yeah, how do you choose what to use for each individual?
Yeah, it's such a good question. Well, I would, if I can just sort of, I guess, respond to your question and go a little back here to say, so some people will come and say, like, I am experiencing PTSD, or I've had this trauma. And on my intake form, there is a question, you know, have you experienced trauma in your life? And it is always very interesting how people respond to it or don't. Like, people are like, no. And then they're telling me their story. And it's like, you know, parents were divorced, car accident, you know, assault survivor, and no. And then others are like, you know, yes, you know, I've whatever, something that others might deem as something small. So I guess what I want to say is that people are not necessarily coming and saying, oh, I'm coming for treatment because I have trauma. They may say, I'm coming, you know, ever since I was a kid, I just have a bad stomach. Like, I just have a sensitive belly. And of course, that can be due to many causes. And one of the ideas in Chinese medicine is usually there are multiple etiologies to any given, you know, it's like infinite causes and conditions, as they say in Buddhism. But sometimes, right, so they may come and present with, this is my presenting issue. And then in the unwinding and unfolding, one, of their story with the words they say, but two, what I can find with the tools of assessment that I would use, which include things like pulse diagnosis, you know, checking the pulse, which include palpating the meridians of the body, which include listening to their story and, you know, how they're telling it and their body language as they tell it and where there are pauses, etc. All of that may reveal that there could be something we could call trauma, and then the next question of how best to address it. So sometimes people do come specifically like, I want acupuncture, like, I'm not interested in hypnosis, for example. So it's like, okay, there, that's the modality that can be a way in. But if in my head I'm thinking, you know, this person would really benefit from some hypnotherapy, I may suggest it to them. Sometimes people will come, they've done lots of talk therapy, they have lots of understanding, there's analysis, there's desire, but it's like, still, I get scared every time I, you know, I'm in an intimate relationship and it starts to get serious. Like, I know this is due to this issue, and I know this, and I know that, and I see this a lot, and yet still. So that's where sometimes a modality where you can go, in some way, I think about the working in acupuncture is like working with, in some level, it's like working with the unconscious. It's working, mm-hmm. right, the body as the unconscious mind in a way. And so it can be a way like, okay, you've done this sort of talking aspect and have a certain type of understanding, but the body is still hasn't caught up, you could say, with what your, where your understandings are. How can we bring the body along with, you know, where this is? So that might be one way. Sometimes, like, for example, I had a patient whose mom didn't live in New York, but was just coming to visit. And she, my patient had, you know, good results coming for acupuncture. So she said, I'd love to bring my mom for an acupuncture treatment. And, you know, it's acupuncture, it's not so much like a one-time modality, but so I said, well, you know, is she, but, you know, maybe she has lots of pain and one treatment can do a lot. So I said, let's, you know, what is going on? She said she has a fear of elevators. So in that case, I suggested to her, I actually think hypnotherapy is going to be the more effective, like, modality to work with that case because one acupuncture treatment, I'm not so sure what it's going to do. Like, let's go a little bit more while it's unconscious, but direct using hypnotherapy to be like, let's address this fear. One of the things that's really wonderful about acupuncture is, okay, so I gave the example of someone who's like done lots of psychotherapy, that kind of work. And then there are some who are not inclined in that way, you know, or who just aren't inclined in that way, who maybe there's resistance, maybe, you know, whatever. They're just, that's not the culture they're accustomed to. They're not going to just, you know, they're just, that's not their thing. I mean, acupuncture is a wonderful way in, and sometimes it opens things up. Like someone, for example, years ago, had come for shoulder injury. So we were, and that was, you know, I didn't really want to talk about much else, but we were working with the shoulder injury. And then in the course of time with the acupuncture treatment, I believe he began to share about issues he was having in his relationship. And I still remember, because it was so, it's not always so like clearly stated. He said, I came to you for, you know, my shoulder, but I think I really came to open my heart, you know, and there was just a way in which acupuncture was a gateway to being able to open things up. And then maybe, I don't know if he did, but, you know, maybe he would then be more open to like, oh, maybe there is something to talk with a psychotherapist about, or, you know, address in some other ways that he wasn't really, you know, because that's part of, it's all part of it, right? If there are blocks, they're blocks. So it's not, you know, that's where it's sort of part of the pattern. It can be part of the pattern.
Absolutely. And I think it's really interesting, right? Because you've got this, on the one hand, you've got this acupuncture, which is like working with energy, but very much in the physical body, working sort of with meridians, working with symptoms. Like you say, you know, people will come and it doesn't need to be like, you don't need to label it trauma or not trauma. You don't even need to label it. It's like, I saw my acupuncturist the other day and I was like, I just had COVID. And then I saw a couple of weeks later and I just had the flu after COVID. So I've had it all recently. But, and she was like, to her, it didn't really matter whether it was COVID or the flu or something else. She was like, what are your symptoms? I need to know your symptoms. Did you have a cough? Do you have a sore throat? Do you have like hot flushes? Do you have fatigue? Do you have headaches? Do you have body aches? Yes. And those were much more interesting to her to work with, because she can put those in the Chinese medicine framework. And that's what I'm hearing you say as well, right? It's not so much about labeling trauma or not trauma. It's about understanding the symptoms in a framework that makes sense to you, and seeing which meridians need working on, where there might be a blockage, that kind of thing. And then on the other hand, I hear that you have acupuncture, right? On the other hand, you have hypnosis, and that's working very much with the subconscious. So slightly different to working with the physical body. Yeah. And that there it's useful for like fears or for, you know, but that the two can also go together. So like, again, like with talk therapy can take you a certain way. And then you realize that you have these patterns, and becoming aware of one's own patterns is definitely the first step in working with them, right? But sometimes you have all this awareness and you get a bit stuck and you don't really know what the next step is. So that things like hypnotherapy can be really supportive of that, or acupuncture, or maybe together. And that's vice versa as well. When you work with the physical body, it can actually open up emotions. Like I've had big releases of emotions when I've had acupuncture, where we've been working with something and suddenly, you know, maybe I'll start having physical jolting or shaking as something releases physiologically, or maybe I'll start feeling really sad and want to cry as something releases. Or most recently, we worked on my sort of lungs and heart after COVID and the flu. And then, you know, I came back and then I had this stuff happened on the sort of more psychological level around relationships and heart. And I was curious, like, maybe that was because of the work I'd done with my acupuncturist, or maybe it's because of the ancestral healing work I'm doing, you know, or maybe, who knows? And in some ways it doesn't matter, because all these modalities can work together. And I love that. And I know that you use acupuncture and hypnotherapy together often to do something called hypnopuncture, which I'm fascinated by. So tell me more about that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. And yeah, just that you thank you for sharing your experience. And you just really, that's exactly right. I mean, you just sort of said it exactly how it is, which is we do all this translation, of course, because we live in this sort of modern world where more of the common knowledge is the biomedical paradigm. So people will say migraine and, you know, with COVID, whatever, but exactly right. If we stay, if really stay in the Chinese medicine language, then those labels are not so important. But we're taking the information to understand, because 10 people with COVID are going to have 10 different patterns. 10 people with migraines, it's going to be different. It's not the migraine point. I wish, you know, I mean, I don't wish, but you know, it would make it easier in a way. But so yeah, so hypnotherapy and acupuncture, both modalities that I work with, that I have found to be just profoundly, profoundly, life-changingly healing for me, for myself as a patient, as a person, and that I do in my work. And so I had been practicing as an acupuncturist for a while before I studied hypnotherapy. And as I was actually, even in my training, I began to feel like, wow, I think acupuncture itself is a very powerful induction. In hypnotherapy, we talk about the induction process of just helping to bring a person into this state of actually deeper awareness. And I began to explore and play with bringing the two together. So I was mentioning earlier, sometimes people, let's say they're not so inclined to talk about things, but they'll come and get acupuncture and maybe there'll be some emotional release that will happen as a result. So that's sort of one way. And others, you know, are really interested. Like, what are you working on and what are we doing? And one of the things that acupuncture and Chinese medicine can provide is a whole nother language for understanding one's experience that I find, and I have seen in others, it can be incredibly empowering. You know, rather than thinking like, you know, I guess I'm just a person who's always so stressed and anxious. Like, what if one were to understand that there is some, there's an insufficiency of the yin energy, and what's needed is to nourish that yin, and there are reasons for that yin depletion. And we may know and be able to identify some of them. Wow, you had high fevers as a child, or oh, you were put in an incubator at the, you know, soon after birth, or you had some childhood trauma, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. And some we might not be able to know the why, but being able to think about, ah, so somewhere, for example, like somewhere maybe in those first 7 years of life, there was some sense of safety that was taken away. There was some nourishment that wasn't received, and some feeling of secure, safe, attachment, adequate nourishment that was not received. And there are channels that work with these energetics. So in Chinese medicine, we have what are called primary channels, and then we have this set of channels known as extraordinary vessels or constitutional vessels. And one of those, which we call the sea or the ocean of yin, which is sort of like it feeds the rivers that are the primary channels, but it's like the it's a ret these are ret more like reservoirs, and the energy is deeper in the body. And so again, if someone would say, ever since I was a kid, you know, I just didn't sleep well, it's like, okay, what does a young child have insomnia for? What's that about? And so sometimes bringing it to your question, sometimes telling, speaking with the patient about, we're working with this channel known as the Sea of Yin. This is, you know, this is where the trajectory runs. It develops early in life. And if there were any disruptions in its development as a result of maybe a childhood trauma, you know, again, it could be something during even childbirth, definitely not necessarily in the realm of that someone has a conscious awareness of, that itself is part of, it can be part of a hypnotherapy process, right? Understanding what we're actually doing as we're working with the energy. It can take one out of just feeling sort of victimized by one's circumstances, or just labeled as, I guess I'm just depressed, I have depression, or I am depressed, but actually being able to see this is what we're doing. So the names of the points, many of them are incredibly poetic and very evocative, right? The center of the altar, you know, inner gate. There's a point on the foot, and it blows my mind. You know, the Chinese name translates to, it's all rather patriarchal, of course, but anyway, translates to grandfather, grandson. So I like to say grandparent, grandchild. And it is on a channel that relates to in utero, that really relates to, you know, pre-existing the differentiation into yin and yang, that sort of stem cell material, that undifferentiated material, is this channel we call the chong, or the sea of blood, which comes precedes the sea of yin and the sea of yang. And so to tell a patient that, while, you know, that itself begins what I think of as a hypnotherapy process, because the truth is we're walking around in hypnotic trances all the time. Anxiety is such a powerful trance. It is focused. It's all I can think about. I can't, right? And these are, maybe we will say, negative or unhelpful, right? They keep us kind of trapped and tight and contracted. And there can be other ideas and other trance states that are actually more reflective, I would say, of something truer, and that can bring a kind of liberation. And sometimes it is through, like, the portal is a point and is the name of a point. So the language itself of Chinese medicine, I think it's like, it gave me this whole, it sort of provided me with a lot in terms of my hypnotherapy. So even sometimes when a patient just wants to come for hypnosis, it's like I will find myself wanting to use some of this language when I hear their story, and it becomes so clear to me, like, ah, this might be a block in this channel, and I wonder if I just tell them about it, what that might shift, you know? Mm. Like, I often think about how, I don't know if you're familiar with, or the listeners are familiar with, this book by John Sarno on back pain. One of his books was called Healing Back Pain. And many years ago, he wrote it. It was pretty revolutionary at the time, where he was arguing that there's emotional etiology to much of back pain. And there's many people who just read the book. I know they just read the book and they do not have back pain anymore. So just actually getting the, you know, having this idea. So okay, so bringing it back more further back to your question. So sometimes when people are, you know, coming explicitly for hypnopuncture, what I'm doing is, you know, I'll do my intake from Chinese medicine. So I have a sense of where I sense what's needed from that paradigm. And I'm also listening with the ear of a hypnotherapist for, you know, for maybe parts of the story that may need addressing. Maybe there's words that, you know, there's a charge to that I can observe. So then I would have the person, you know, rest on the treatment table and already begin a process of telling them what they're going to do, and sort of weaving the acupuncture needling process, unless a person is quite anxious about that, in which case we just sort of do it and get it over with and then move on to it. But actually, right, it's like letting people know, like, we're entering into this place, we're entering this, we're going into a portal here, where, and it's, we're going in through this passage to enter into another place. And in that place, then I might use some of these hypnotherapy processes, where maybe what's needed is to go back to a time, a significant event. Sometimes that's needed, or to go back before some event in which the person is saying, you know, ever since then, I've just never been the same. Something's been different. So maybe we go back and just really get them to associate into, what was that state before things changed, before you felt this sort of cloud come upon you, or this anxiety set in, or whatever. That's just an example. Or maybe they have a specific thing. It's like, my first grade teacher, you know, made fun of me when I stood up to speak. So then we maybe, if it feels safe and comfortable, we go back to that event in this established field of safety. And because acupuncture can just regulate the nervous system. I mean, that's not the Chinese medicine traditional language, but we know this. It mm-hmm. has this effect of bringing people more into a parasympathetic state in which healing happens. If you can be in that state and then, okay, can we look at this thing? Like it really is a much safer, it can be a much safer place and a much more conducive state in which to, work through some of these things, because now the body is not necessarily getting triggered.
Absolutely. And that makes a lot of sense, right? Like we were talking earlier about how in Chinese medicine and acupuncture, you take the symptoms rather than the label, and you apply that to this framework that already exists, this beautiful language, which is so poetic, despite being very patriarchal and hierarchical. But, you know, if we forget that side, this beautiful language, which also embodies a lot of like natural elements and nature inside, and so finding that flow and that balance, and so then using the two of that, you know, so if we can just go from, and this is what I love about what you're sharing and about acupuncture in general, is that whilst it starts with symptoms, it goes back to the roots. It's not like a lot of Western medicine where they also look at symptoms rather than the root, but they look at symptoms, put a plaster on the symptom and get you out the door, right? And that's just the way it works because that's the way it works. So whereas this is taking a more holistic approach, but it's still starting with the symptoms. And then when you bring in the hypnotherapy along with the acupuncture, I can really hear how the two go hand in hand, because you can use the same framework and then bring the hypnotherapy in. And as you say, like when you're talking about the nervous system and the parasympathetic, the parasympathetic system, we know that's how trauma works, right? It dysregulates the nervous system. And then it's when the nervous system hasn't had a chance to re-regulate that we have these moments that are frozen in time and in our bodies, and that's frozen energy. So when we're working with energy, working with the nervous system and relaxing it, and then using the subconscious to feel our body in this relaxed state, and you take our mind back to that moment, but re-regulate the nervous system and keep the nervous system regulated whilst we travel back to this time where it was all jarred. That makes a lot of sense to me, why it would work so well, why you'd have acupuncture and hypnotherapy together to do this kind of trauma healing work. So I think that's fascinating, and thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you. That sum up was beautiful. Thank you, really. And I would also add, it's a, you know, receiving acupuncture and using hypnotherapy to anchor in resources that are beneficial. Anchor is also, it's like a very potent time and place.
What do you mean
to,
by that? Could you say more about anchoring in resources?
Sure. So, you know, so there's a saying in Chinese medicine, where the mind goes, the qi follows. So, okay. So when you're resting, they're getting acupuncture, it's a conducive time to, for example, call forth, you know, let's say someone is struggling with feelings of a lack of confidence, and, you know, kind of really mired in, really struggling with lack of self-worth, or, you know, just anxiety connected with all of this. But they can think about something in their life where they feel really at ease, where they feel confident, you know, where they feel like, yeah, I got this. That's easy. So we could kind of bring them into that state, go into that memory, and then rehearse that again and again and again, really get them to associate into that state. We'll call it a resource state where they do feel confident. Maybe it's confident making their chai. Who cares? It doesn't matter. The bodily experience is like, I got that. But someone else will be very anxious. Is it cardamom? Does it matter how much, you know? So, but the body knows that state of ease. It's just, this is, I'm just giving a small example. So you can actually then get them to anchor. Anchor is to kind of bring in, really feel it. And acupuncture is like move. It's like a journey is happening during an acupuncture treatment. Old patterns are being loosened up. They're being disrupted, and there's new possibilities for energy to flow differently. So if in that state, we can bring in some bodily feeling and also memory of a time when a person felt whatever it might be, at ease, relaxed, confident. So that's one way. Another way of, you know, so when I say anchoring.
Before you say the other way, just so that I understand, I just want to make sure I'm clear. So you, for example, you're working with a patient and you get them to, if it's someone with anxiety or with lack of confidence or something. So you get them to remember a state where, or a situation where they feel very confident. So like, yes. Making Thai, loving the cultural references here, by the way. So for example, making chai or cooking or doing something where they do feel confident. And so that they can really feel into that and feel that in their body. And then you guide them and you get them to stay connected to that feeling, and you guide them to a memory or to a feeling where they're not confident, or you just get them to cultivate that confidence from that moment. That's the bit I'm unclear on.
Beautiful question. No, both. You can do either. So sometimes it's just, you know, okay, but ultimately you want to make sure it translates, because it could just stay there. And often so often, if we're like, I'm terrible at boundaries, like I can never, you know, whatever, say no. It's like, typically, if I've had experiences of like, of course I say no, like it would be impossible to live through life if I never had a single boundary. It's not even possible, right? But we typically don't think of it that way. So just, that's just a little side note point, that it's like, even getting people to see, no, that is confidence. If you can just make your cup of tea and you feel comfortable making it. So, okay. But then, yes, absolutely what you're saying is, so ideally then once you sort of associate into the state, we go over it again and again, kind of almost accentuate it. And then again, this is all based on a person feeling safe to go into any particular memory, right? But let's just assume they are. So then with that feeling of like, feeling resourced, feeling what the body feels like, feeling light, feeling the chest open, feeling like no big whoop, feeling like you can like notice the sun outside as you make your tea, because it's like, this is no big deal. Then you might have them walk into that scenario where they go to give the speech or whatever.
Yeah. And feeling it. And then if they're going into, again, I hear it's really important to stay safe, to not be re-traumatized, and to stay, you know, to only go as far as one is able to, and that at any point we can come back to the now, to the present, or go back to the, I'm making my tea and how that feels, and that confidence then. So
that's right.
Yeah, I guess that was it. It wasn't really a question.
yeah. No. And what was I going to say here?
I don't know, but you were saying there was a second way of anchoring as well, which you were going to share.
Yes. What was I going to say? this isn't what I was going to say, but also adding that. So of course one can do this whole anchoring process without acupuncture. It's something that's done in hypnotherapy. A common tool is anchoring. And in which case you might then have a person, let's say they're in their resource state, feeling calm or feeling equanimous or feeling confident or feeling, you know, what have you. You might then say, and just take your thumb and index finger, take a deep breath in. As you exhale, feel yourself anchoring this feeling, letting it come into your body, letting the cells of your body listen deeply and feel it, and know that when you are outside and you're taking the subway and you notice that there may be some of this uncomfortable feeling arise, all you have to do is take your thumb and index finger, take a breath, and your body will remember.
Incredible.
So this is a kind of anchoring tool. And bringing the acupuncture in, sometimes what I would say is, and your body knows that, and then I'll just tap on where there's a point and say, and all you might need to do is to simply remember this point, and the whole body will remember this pattern, this way of being. Wow. You can simply bring yourself into it by simply tap, tap.
And this is once again how hypnotherapy, acupuncture, and even tapping can all work together. And I see that the bit that I not quite got was how the acupuncture can then help really anchor into the body and sort of become familiar and keep, like, yeah, the word anchor, I guess, integrate into the body those feelings. I think that's the bit I had missed. I got the, okay, we go, we make our cup of chai, we feel the confidence in our body. But I think the miss the part of, oh, and then the acupuncture helps that. And then if you're not doing acupuncture and you're just doing hypnotherapy, you can do like these points like you've just described, which is fantastic. I definitely want to try that now.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of it is just simply that it's that when one is receiving acupuncture, again, it is this idea like thing, like you're moving energy, it's a moving thing. So whatever happens in that, whatever we bring into the mind field in that time, just there's so much more possibility. There's so much more possibility, I think, than just sort of sitting or just laying there without that. So in that sense, you know, it's like the stream was sort of a little clogged in its pattern, and the water flows in this very particular way where those blocks are. And now we're sort of with the acupuncture, sort of taking out, removing some of these rocks. So now what can you do when the water is flowing here? Put a certain word. We know words move energy. You know, a word can be the most powerful needle. You know, I had one of my acupuncture teachers used to say this sentence. She would say, never put a needle in a patient until you've already done the treatment. And I think her thing was your words, all of it, the intake, it's all part of it. It's all part of it. Words can be powerful acupuncture needles, you know. So
it's fascinating, and I love these different that there's words can be, like you say, acupuncture needles. And again, it makes sense that the hypnotherapy and the acupuncture would go so well together when you're talking in this way, that there's these reminders to your body, whether they're the pressure points, whether they're words, whether they're needles, whether, you know, there's these reminders to your body of how to activate the parasympathetic system, how to relax the nervous system, how to remember a sense of calm or confidence or whatever's needed, how to, and it's like, this is a totally other different modality, but it's coming to me, so I just want to bring it in. Like, I did some ayahuasca ceremonies earlier this year, and I had these like incredible visions and understandings. And then I had this thing where it was, don't forget. And I could feel this point on my forehead. Mm-hmm. And whenever I'm going through something now, I feel like that's something I can do, right? Where I just sort of press this point on my forehead. And I take a breath, and it's like, I can sort of not just remember, bring back to some degree the state I was in and what I was working on at the time. And, you know, and there's these other things that I've talked about before. I have on my wall, for example, I can see it now, where it says, it's just TV. And that reminds me of a state of when I used to work in TV production, and things would get overwhelming and stressful. And that was our catchphrase, which would just bring everyone's energy down, right? So those are just two examples from my life of either a point, physical point, or words, which just really helped me when I feel myself getting in this activated, triggered state of stress or overwhelm or like misunderstanding or confusion, that can just immediately bring me back down. And that's using different modalities. One was just literally working in a busy office, but having a great boss who used to every time just be like, calm down, it's just TV. And as soon as we say that, we'd all take a break and have a cup of tea. One was taking ayahuasca and having these like insane visions, you know. And then, but you're talking about hypnotherapy and about acupuncture and about tapping. And I really see that we have these different modalities and how they can support us to, yeah, these points to really anchor it in our bodies. And so that when we get too caught up in our minds, and again, I know you're a meditation mindfulness instructor, so this plays as well, you know, when we get caught up in our minds, it can be hard sometimes to come back down into our bodies. We learn through practice, but to have these points, to have these words, to have these phrases to help us connect back into a different state sounds incredible and really useful.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for sharing your experiences. And I love that you brought those two contrasting ones, right? The ayahuasca journey and your working in television. And I feel like something you said also hit such a key point that I do feel is absolutely essential. And maybe it's obvious, but, you know, worth underlining. when you said, oh, and maybe just having a great boss, like, I think with all of it, it's that this thing is happening in a relational field. And so I think the acupuncture is in itself, you know, and there's research on acupuncture and PTSD, and it didn't go into all, you know, we know it brings, you know, promotes release of neurotransmitters and endorphins, et cetera, the regulation of the nervous system, hypnotherapy similar, but it's also, it's like, it's the relational field that can enable so much profound transformation and really, you know, really freedom from, 100%.
In fact, my next interview is with Meg John Barker, where we're going to be talking about exactly that. So to anyone watching and listening right now who wants to know more about relational trauma and trauma playing out in the relational field, as you say, tune in to that interview. So Mona, I'm aware of time. Did you have a second anchoring method that you wanted to share, or was that what we've already talked about?
No, I think that was, you know, whether it's using a gesture or a point, so a person would know, they can press a point. I think in terms of anchoring, yeah, I think that's what I was. Okay. I'm just going to take a moment to see, was there something else I wanted to say?
So we've covered, whilst you take a moment, I'll just remind everyone what we've covered so far. So we've covered this idea that, you know, acupuncture is working with energy blockages in the body, in the sort of energetical body and the physical body, that hypnotherapy is working with the sort of subconscious. We've seen how the two can go so well together, along with other modalities like tapping, and there are plenty of others as well, to really bring in the subconscious and the physical, to go back to memories where the blockages were created and bring in, you know, either confidence or to bring it to calm the nervous system in that moment. We've talked about this, about anchoring the resources we need to be able to do that. We've talked about how it's important to be safe, not to be re-traumatized. So it's useful to do this kind of work with a professional like you. And, you know, once we've done this work, there are things we can do on our own as well. Like if we know that there's a point or a gesture or a phrase or a word to really anchor those feelings and call upon those states, call upon those resources that we've cultivated in the moments that we need them, because life can be overwhelming, and it's, you know, it's not always possible when life's overwhelming to be like, okay, well, I'm going to do half an hour of meditation now. So, but to be able to call on those states when we're noticing that we're getting activated is fantastic. Is there anything else you would like to add before we come to an end?
I mean, I guess I think this is one thing worth mentioning, because it is an area where there's been a lot of research, is in auricular acupuncture, the ear acupuncture, and one of maybe the most common anchoring technique actually that I use is placing an ear seed on particular ear points. And there's a particular point which we call Shen Men, another poetic name. It translates to spirit gate. And it happens to be on the part of the ear that the auricular branch of the vagus nerve passes through. So we can needle that point, but then to give people something to take home, we apply a little seed with medical tape, and it's something they can press on. Even if you don't have the seed, you can press on. And having people know that they can simply press on this point, and it bringing and combining it with hypnosis, right? It's like maybe when they're doing it in the session, there's the images that they call forth. Maybe for them, what would be calm would be like a vast, you know, open sea, or maybe, right, there's bringing all of that together. So then when they're just in their life having a struggle, pressing that point also will have those associations, aside from physiologically, we know, you know, what we know it's doing. So anyway, that was just I thought important, because the ear acupuncture work is so applicable in community settings. It is applicable, you know, where people have had mass traumas, and in a large scale where having a one-to-one very time intensive work may not be possible, people can easily, you know, do ear acupuncture, and it is done around the world for people who are struggling, and it can really bring a lot of relief. So
I love that. I love that because I love it for two reasons. One, because it's fantastic that it's so accessible and that, you know, it's something that can be done with needles if you're in on an acupuncture table, but that can also be done at home afterwards. And I love it because you brought in something that I think is really important. We were talking about like feelings and stuff, but for some people, it's hard to connect to the felt sense in their body and they work more with images. So again, that, you know, that whether you're working with acupuncture or hypnosis or hypnopuncture, that sometimes you can call upon not just necessarily a state, but an image that is calming for you, that, you know, like you say, whether for some it might be the vast open sea or it might be being under a tree, or I don't know what's calming for, you know, each person has their thing. So it might be being in the hubbub of a city if that's what's calming for someone else. And so I think it's really important to bring that in, that it's not all about just the physical feeling, you know, there's other ways of bringing about calm. So it might be a sense of calm through an image rather than just felt in the body. So thank you for that. Mona, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today. How can people find out more about you and your work?
So I have a website, which is www.peopletreewellness.com. And it's spelled people, P-E-O-P-L-E, tree, T-R-E-E, wellness.com. My little play on the people, P-I-P-A-L, tree, under which the Buddha is said to have attained enlightenment. But on my website, people can find my email and phone number and YouTube channel and can reach out to me that way. And I'm happy to hear from folks who, you know, have listened to this and maybe have questions or are looking for resources wherever they live. They can feel free.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed this conversation and it's given me a lot to think about and a lot more avenues to explore.
Thank you. Thank you so much.